This message was recorded live at the Ark Church in Conroe, Texas.
Well, good morning. For those of you that might not know who I am, I'm Philip Moore. I'm the executive pastor here at the Ark, a job, the ministry role that I absolutely enjoy and thankful to God for. It's an honor and a privilege today to fill in for Pastor Allen. In the spirit, though, of full transparency and self-disclosure, I really feel that there's something that I must confess to you this morning. There was a time in my past that I'm really not proud of. Ashamed or embarrassed would actually be a more accurate statement. What I'm about to confess to you, I know will undoubtedly and forever change the way that you picture me. You won't look at me the same way again. Are you ready for this? Remember, you were warned, okay? Growing up as a little boy, I loved professional wrestling. See, what I tell you is shocking, isn't it? To say that I loved it would be an understatement. Chief Wahoo McDaniel, Nature Boy Ric Flair, Black Jack Mulligan, these guys were all larger than life to me. Faithfully, like clockwork, man, I would tune into the TV and I'd watch these champions of the ring duke it out on TV. I even had the dream come true one point of attending a live event. But then my world shattered. I found out this was all fake. These guys, it wasn't real. These guys were only acting. Now, if I just burst somebody's bubble with that revelation there, I apologize. But one thing that always intrigued me about professional wrestling was the masked wrestler. You know, the shady character, the bad to the bone guy who was always the most hated. He was the villain who struck fear in his opponents, and he struck fear in me through the TV. That was until he was unmasked. And it usually went something like this. After meeting the masked wrestler in the ring and listening to his taunting, being intimidated by him, fearing, and finally engaging him, there came a point when the opponent, let's say my hero, Wahoo McDaniel, would lay one of his famous tomahawk chops right on the top of this masked wrestler. He would get the best of him, he would subdue him, and then he would be victorious. However, the real defining moment came when in the final act of climactic victory, the mask would be pulled off of his face. And it was then that the masked man would be exposed for the poser that he really was. And like a balloon being popped, it was like all of his powers just faded away, and he was no longer to be intimidating or to be feared. And like a scurrying cockroach, when the light gets turned on, he runs out of the ring. This guy would just flee from the ring and from his opponent. This is exactly what I want to talk to you about today. No, not roaches or wrestlers. I want to talk to you about the enemy of our soul. My desire is to help us to become wiser in his ways and to discover how to unmask him, exposing him for the poser that he really is. And by doing this, we can grow in who God has called us to be, and we can take hold of the fullness of life that God desires for us. Joy Clayton said something the other day in staff prayer that really stood out to me and is the basis for my talk with you this morning. She said, "The biggest enemy we face is fear. And it's important to know your enemy," she said, "and how to defeat it." Here's a great definition of fear. F-E-A-R. False evidence appearing real. Fear, like the masked wrestler, loves to taunt, loves to intimidate, and loves to manipulate to get us sidetracked and off of our game. Fear thrives on the false perception that it works so hard to foster. And it can show itself up in a lot of different ways in our lives. Some of you probably can relate to some of these. A fear of death, sickness, financial trouble, abandonment, a fear of looking bad, making a mistake, fear of people's opinions. Fear often isn't rational or factual, and it can at times make no logical sense at all. It usually takes an unchecked thought or a random isolated incident and creates its own false reality. For example, I remember when I was growing up that I had to deal with fear in my life, and two of my biggest fears was dying in a house fire and making bad grades in school. You guys are really getting a glimpse into my soul this morning, aren't you? I would seriously lay awake at night, terrified of going to sleep because of afraid of a fire would break out in my house. Even though I had never had any traumatic experience with fires, this random thought literally gripped and terrified me with fear. Same thing with my grades in school. I wasn't a straight-A student, but neither was I academically challenged. This fear, the fear of man, fear of making a mistake, fear of failure, literally gripped me for years. And it was a fear that I carried with me well into my teens, even when I did excel academically. You see, I allowed the masked wrestler of fear into the ring of my life to do what he does: taunt, intimidate, and manipulate my reality. Looking back, it was all so unnecessary. God wanted so much more for me, and he wants so much more for you. God doesn't want us living in fear. Let me say that again. God doesn't want us living in fear. Look at this scripture in 2 Timothy 1:7. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity or cowardice or fear, but he has given us a spirit of power and of love and of sound judgment and personal discipline, abilities that result in a calm, well-balanced mind and self-control. Look at what God wants for us here: power, love, sound judgment, and a calm, well-balanced mind that comes from personal discipline. Doesn't that sound awesome? Well, how do we get there? If we're going to unmask fear and expose him for the poser that he really is, then we have to be wise to his tactics. Here are some of the tactics of fear. Fear focuses our attention on what's wrong or on the plethora of possible things that even could remotely go wrong. Fear gets our mind on the negative, and it begins a downward spiral that leads to death. Faith, on the other hand, is based on who God is and what he has said. And it focuses our minds and it quiets our souls by looking at what is right and going well. Faith also helps us to focus on what we can expect to go right, giving us a hope for the days ahead. Faith and fear are two opposing approaches to the very same problem. However, they are alike in one way. Both are believing what I cannot see will happen. Fear, unfortunately, just by human nature, comes rather easily to us, kind of like falling off a log. It doesn't take a whole lot of effort. But faith, on the other hand, is something that we have to develop. We have to grow in. We have to strengthen in our lives. Growing up, our kids loved jumping into my arms from the stairs in our home. We made a game of it. They would jump and I would catch them. As they trusted me at one level, they would move up to the next level. And growing in their confidence, they grew to trust that I would catch them and that I would catch them every time. Our faith is the same way. We trust God at one level, then growing and stepping up, we trust him at the next level. And it's a lifelong process of growth and development and strengthening in our lives. Fear focuses our attention on what's wrong. It also minimizes God. When we magnify the problem in our lives through fear, we minimize God. John Ortberg puts it this way. He said, fear disrupts faith and becomes the biggest obstacle to trusting and obeying God. Let's say that my hand represents a challenge in my life. Out here, it's not that big of a deal. It's small and it really doesn't get in the way. However, if through fear I take that challenge in my life and I put it up here close to my face, then that becomes all that I see. The problem gets huge, my perspective gets skewed, and I miss out on everything good going on around me. All I see is the problem, and it's much harder for me to see God. Now, this doesn't mean that we take our hands or our heads and we stick them in the sand and act like nothing is going on and ignore what's the things happening in our world. But it does mean that for every challenge, obstacle, or fear that we face, we know, we choose to focus on and believe in and recognize that we have a Heavenly Father who loves us. He's a bigger God than anything that we're facing, and He's a Heavenly Father who we can completely trust. Pastor Allen challenged us a few weeks ago. He said, think a bigger thought of God. A bigger thought, like Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. It says, now to him who is able to carry out his purpose and do super abundantly more. I like that word. Super abundantly more than what we dare ask or think. Infinitely beyond our greatest prayers, hopes, or dreams. According to his power that is at work within us. That's a big thought of God to have. Fear also paralyzes us. Have you ever been gripped with fear? I have. I will never forget a time that I went golfing. And as was par for my game at the time, my tee shot drifted offline and ended off in a shallow pond off of the fairway. Actually excited to even find the ball, I knelt down and to grab the ball. And I wanted to clean it off because I was going to keep it. So I began swishing it back and forth in the water. When out of my peripheral vision, I saw something come at me, and instinctively I pulled my hand back as something hit it. I stumbled back from that pond, shocked to see in front of me a water moccasin, angry as a hornet, curling up on a lily pad, mouth wide open, just daring for me to come back and let him have another go. I stood there, literally gripped with fear, frozen for the longest time, examining the tiny prick in my finger where this snake had hit me, but thankfully not with his fangs. Needless to say, my game was off the rest of that day. Fear can literally hinder our ability to move. Overwhelmed at what's in front of us, we become stalled in life, not moving ahead, not moving forward into the fullness of life that God has intended for us and that He desires for us. And when we're stalled, when we're stopped or otherwise paralyzed by fear, we become an easier target for the enemy. The Bible talks a lot about how to effectively deal with fear and gives us a great example in the life of a man named Peter. In one of my favorite stories of the Bible, Peter, one of Jesus' disciples, he overcame his fear in a very powerful way. Our story picks up just after Jesus had miraculously fed 5,000 people using only a few pieces of fish and bread. Dismissing the crowd and departing from that area, Jesus told his disciples to get into the boat to cross over to the other side of the sea and that he would basically catch up with them later. Well, later that night, look at Matthew chapter 14, verse 25 to 33. Meanwhile, the boat was far out to sea when the wind came up against them, and they were battered by the waves. At about 4 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came toward them, walking on the water. They were scared out of their wits. A ghost, they said, crying out in terror. But Jesus was quick to comfort them. Courage, it's me. Don't be afraid. Peter, suddenly bold, said, Master, if it's really you, call me to come to you on the water. He said, come ahead. Jumping out of the boat, Peter walked on the water to Jesus. But when he looked down and he saw the waves churning beneath his feet, he lost his nerve and he started to sink. He cried, Master, save me. Jesus didn't hesitate. He reached down, grabbed his hand. Then he said, faint heart, what got into you? The two of them then climbed into the boat and the wind died down. The disciples in the boat, having watched the whole thing, worshiped Jesus, saying, this is it. You are God's son for sure. Here are a few takeaways that we can take from this story. Some of the things that we can learn from Peter. He saw something different. He took Jesus at his word and he got out of the boat. Peter saw something different. Now, it's worth noting here in this story that Peter is the only disciple that is singled out in this story. All of the other disciples were there, but it was Peter who was singled out because he saw something different. All of the disciples had been with Jesus the previous day, and they experienced firsthand the massive picnic miracle. Now, they were all in the same boat, experiencing the same storm with the same cause for a fearful reaction. But what they saw was critical. What they saw set them apart. While the other disciples, they saw the storm, Peter, he saw Jesus. John Ortberg puts it this way. He said, sometimes it takes eyes of faith to recognize when Jesus is around. Often in the middle of the storm, tormented by waves of disappointment and doubt, we are no better at recognizing his presence than they were. Peter saw something different, and he took Jesus at his word. Look at Matthew 14, 27. Jesus said to the disciples, courage, it's me. Don't be afraid. Now, I can imagine Peter thinking in this instant, man, I have seen what Jesus can do. He just fed 5,000 people with nothing more than a happy meal. This storm is nothing for him. He says, don't be afraid. Done. Now, in this moment, by taking Jesus at his word, Peter went from frightened about the storm and seeing a ghost to a man who was full of faith. And now Peter, suddenly bold, he didn't poll the other disciples to see what they thought. He didn't ask for another sign. He didn't play it safe. And I love this. He didn't delay. He took Jesus at his word. He took courage and he was not afraid. Then Peter took it up another notch. He stepped out on Jesus' word, literally. Peter got out of the boat. Look at verse 28 of Matthew 14. Peter, suddenly bold, said, Master, if it's really you, call me to come to you on the water. By taking Jesus at his word and looking to him, Peter overcame his fear and he left the comfort and the security of the boat. Verse 29 tells us that Peter actually jumped out of the boat and walked on the water to Jesus. Now, I want to pause right here and let us take this in. Let it sink in for just a second. Peter walked on the water with Jesus. Now, as we read earlier, Peter's going to get distracted by the churning sea beneath his feet, and he's going to take his eyes off of Jesus. And his fear will cause him to sink. And we tend to give Peter a really hard time for his sinking doubt. But the reality is that Peter is the only disciple who walked on the water with Jesus. None of the other disciples did. All they did was sit in the safety and the security of that boat and watch that miracle happen in front of them. As John Ortberg puts it, only Peter knew the glory of walking on the water. Only Peter knew the glory of being lifted up by Jesus in a moment of desperate need. The worst failure is not to sink in the waves. The worst failure is to never get out of the boat. Well, you may be saying, Philip, that's all great and everything, but I mean, that's Peter. He's a disciple. He should overcome his fear, expected of him. But what about me? What about the fears that I'm facing in life? Look at Psalm 34:4. It says, I sought the Lord on the authority of his word, and he answered me, and he delivered me from all my fears. God's heart for you is the same as it was for Peter. He wants us to be free from fear, all of them. But how? How's that going to happen? Well, to unmask fear, we have to talk. We have to talk to ourselves, we have to talk to our enemy, and we have to talk the word of God. We have to talk to ourselves. Look at Psalm 27, verse 3. It says, even if an army surrounds me, I will not be afraid. Even if people attack me in war, I will trust in the Lord. Now, even if there implies to me a real likelihood that these things are going to happen. I believe that self-awareness is one of the keys to living a successful and a victorious life. What are my strengths? What are my weaknesses? What traps of the enemy am I especially vulnerable to? Knowing the answers to these questions is vital because these are the exposed areas, the vulnerable areas of our lives that the enemy of our soul loves to prey on. When confronted by fear, we need to talk to ourselves. We need to talk and take those thoughts captive, and we need to speak truth to ourselves. You see, for me, whenever a fearful thought comes into my mind, if I don't take it captive, it can quickly begin a downward spiral in my life. And before you know it, I'm at the bottom of a pit looking up, wondering what in the world just happened and how did I get here? At times, I literally have to speak to the situation, and I'll sometimes say it out loud, stop it. And then I'll reorder my mind according to God's word. Philippians 4:8. It's a great scripture for overcoming fear. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if there is anything excellent or praiseworthy, think. Think about such things. So we need to talk to ourselves, but we also need to talk to our enemy. We need to rise up and confront the enemy of our soul. We need to stir ourselves up and resist and stand up to his tactics. Joy said, resist the fear behind the issue that is bothering you. James 4:7 says, submit therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Doesn't say he might, he says he will flee from you. So overcoming fear means that we must resist or confront those situations or people sometimes that the enemy uses to come against us. Now I realize that for many of you, the very word confront stirs up fear in your hearts. I understand. But I believe far too many times we're a doormat for people and the enemy to walk on. And here's a truth. God never intended for us to be doormats. Isaiah 26, verse 3. You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. I believe there's a lot of truth to the saying that you can't keep a bird from flying over your head, but you can keep him from building a nest in your hair. What that says is random thoughts, fear-filled thoughts will come our way, but we don't have to let them park and take root in our lives. God has given us the power to confront those thoughts and to resist the enemy and to have a sound mind whose thoughts are fixed on him. You see, when we actively resist our thoughts, we say who and we say what controls our mind. And in that, we're not a doormat. We overcome fear by resisting the enemy. So we talk to ourselves, we talk to our enemy, and finally, we talk the word of God. Look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. It says, let the spoken word of Christ have its home within you, dwelling in your heart and dwelling in your mind, permeating every aspect of your being. Here, we're talking about the principle of the sponge. When we're squeezed in life, what's inside of us is going to come out, and it'd be good or it can be bad. So we need to soak up the word of God so that when the stuff of life happens and we get squeezed, what's inside of us is going to come out and it's going to be helpful. Last year, for several months, I had a recurring, dull, nagging pain in my side. I grabbed a hold of and I stood on and I quoted 2 Peter 2:24, by his wounds, I am healed. After a few months, I felt led to go to the doctor and to not unwisely stick my head in the sand and ignore the symptoms, all the while still standing on God's word to me that I am healed and I am whole. Well, checking into the hospital that day for the testing, the young lady that was taking down my information out of the blue asked me a very piercing question. She said, Mr. Moore, have you ever had cancer? Immediately, I felt the ice of fear go through my veins. But thankfully, because we'd been reciting and meditating this scripture in staff prayer, in that moment, when squeezed, what came out of me was Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. I trust in the Lord with all my heart. I don't lean on my own understanding. I answered the young lady's question, and I very calmly went on with those tests. When those tests came back a few days later, the medical person who was giving me my results told me that my abdomen and my lower pelvis area were, quote, practically perfect. I said, I'll take perfect. Needless to say, I was rejoicing and I was very, very thankful. But did I have to battle fear through this process? Absolutely. My thoughts left to themselves would have run wild with all kinds of scenarios. I had to constantly talk to myself and keep looking to God with a faith-filled perspective. I had to confront and talk to the enemy who was consistently trying to rob me of my peace and my joy. I had to resist the thoughts that were coming my way and keep my mind focused on the Lord. And finally, I battled fear with the most powerful weapon that we have. I talked the word of God. Look at Psalm 112, verse 7 to 8. I will have no fear of bad news. My heart is steadfast and trusting in the Lord. My heart is secure. I have no fear. I love this. In the end, I will look in triumph on my foes. As we close today, what fear have you been battling? What fear is wreaking havoc in your life? How have you been actively standing up to that fear that's coming against you? Isn't it time to unmask fear and to expose him for the poser that he really is? Isn't it time to become the full of faith, victorious overcomer that God intended and created us to be? Justin and the worship team are coming back to lead us in a song, and I'm going to ask if you would please stand with me. Service isn't over, so I'm going to ask that nobody be moving around. Let's stay reverent. Let's stay honoring of God in these last few minutes of our time together. I want to encourage you today. Some of you are here this morning, and you're carrying some major fear. And it's been preying on you and plaguing you and holding you back for way too long. As we sing this song, Whom Shall I Fear? I want to challenge you. Don't just sing the words rotely. Make these words a declaration of your soul. Focus on who God is and the promises that he has for you. And today, this morning, we can unmask the fear that's been coming against us.
Fills the night, it cannot hide the night. Whom shall I fear? You crush the enemy underneath my feet. You are my sword and shield, though troubles linger still. Whom shall I fear? And I know who goes before me. I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, he is a friend of mine. The God of angel armies is always by my side. My strength is in your name, for you alone can save. You will deliver me, yours is the victory. So whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear? 'Cause I know who goes before me. Stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, he is a friend of mine. The God of angel armies is always by my side. You hold the whole world in your hands.
Be seated just for a few more minutes. It's a powerful song, isn't it? It's a powerful truth to realize that God doesn't want us living in fear. So with your heads bowed and your eyes closed this morning, perhaps you're here and you've been battling fear, and you've never asked Jesus to come into your life. You've never said yes to Him. You don't know this God of angel armies that we've been singing about, who can be and wants to be by your side. Or perhaps you've said yes in the past, and for whatever reason, you've gotten away from Him. Today, you can renew that relationship and get His help and power in overcoming fear. If you've never said yes to Jesus, or you need to come back to Him today, then we're going to say a prayer in a minute. We're not going to call you out. We're not going to embarrass you in any way. But if you want in on that prayer, if you want to invite Christ to come and live in your life and begin a new way of living, then say right now, just say, Philip, include me in that prayer by just simply raising your hand. Yes, yeah, yes, yes, yes. God sees your hand. Yes, all over. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right, we're all going to pray this prayer together as a church family. We're going to pray it out loud. Say, Dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. And I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe You're the Son of God. I believe You died on the cross for my sins. And God raised You from the dead. Right now, I confess You as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank You, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ because I've said yes to you. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. For more about the Ark, visit thearkchurch.com.